CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. It is Monday. It's the 4th of November. We are here. We are live.
We're alive.
We're alive, correct. Well done on that one, Leanne. Made it. I saw Gugu's episode again. There must be...
Oh, did you?
Yeah, they must have been showing it because there's absolutely nothing else being commissioned in South Africa at the moment but First Dates SA, because it was on again yesterday.
Well, that's good.
No, it was good. And I saw the whole thing, which never watch live TV. You were good.
Oh, thanks, Gareth.
What can I say?
What did you think of my date, now that you've seen her?
She's quite pretty, but I do agree with you. If you've never, ever been on a date and you're in your late 20s, there's something wrong with you.
Nah, dude. Scares me.
I'm very nervous of people who've never had a relationship, ever. Especially if you're approaching 30, you know?
Yeah.
It means there's something not so good going on, either upstairs or downstairs.
Or in your lady's chamber.
Next thing, she starts mounting me randomly.
You'd love that. You would have loved that. Don't pretend.
Nah. Escalated so quick. Yes, go.
All right, let me introduce someone to you, Leanne Moll.
Oh, hello, everyone. My first time here.
Hello, Leanne.
Moll. Hi, Leanne. She's never been here before. She's very intimidated this morning.
Don't be. Welcome.
I want to introduce you to someone who's joining us this morning because he's a massive sports fan and obviously watched everything that happened over the weekend. And we've had so many people complaining that since Ben isn't around all the time, we have no one covering sport.
Mm-hmm.
But I even watched the rugby Saturday.
Oh, who didn't?
I would definitely have covered it today.
Yeah, I mean, that was really quite something. Anyway, we've got Bulelo Tinta in here, who's also a big sports fan. He's currently lives half the time in half the time in Cape Town, half the time in Joburg. And he has two sports podcasts, which are called From the Bleachers and the Skip Past podcast. Like that name. He focuses specifically on English Premier League, international rugby and test cricket, and other major international sports events. So welcome, man. Nice to see you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Quite an introduction. Probably the greatest introduction I've ever had.
Well, it's the only one you're going to get this morning, so take what you
can.
So, Mbulelo, what did you think of the game on Saturday? Give us a little synopsis there.
Well, I tell you what, I said to everybody, you can check it on social media. I already said we were going to win, and we had to make it a snore fest, which it was if you were watching for the actual game, but we won, and we bullied them. We out-bullied England, which is what we had to do, stick to the plan, kicked everything.
Tell me, is it true that the English were so pissed off after the game they didn't even want to wear their silver medals? There was a lot of controversy, and apparently the English captain didn't even say, you know, congratulations or anything.
I think that's bad sportsmanship.
Is it true, though?
Look, they threw a strop at the medals, you know, because generally you wear the medal, but they're really like medal on, medal off, and
grumpy.
Yeah, bottom lip, walking on their bottom lips, which was hilarious.
Yeah, so well done to our guys. I mean, I was at my folks and my sister and the rest of us were all watching. I went outside just before the end, and I just listened to the noise.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Everybody in the neighborhood.
Ninjas were hooting,
dude.
On
there
the road,
people. You could hear people going. You could hear people screaming. You could hear people shouting. Like, it was just pure euphoria all around us. Hooting of cars, everything. It was all happening. Crazy. And I tried to record it. Obviously, the recording's shit because you can't hear a thing. I mean, I was standing in the middle of nowhere. But it was just amazing to see, like, how everybody got caught up in it. I even felt like something. And you know me.
I have a recording.
I have no heart at all.
I do have a recording, yeah.
What is this? Is this a recording? Are you sure? Don't play the wrong recording. Or we'll
make sure it's noisy. Huh? I want to hear it. It's a Monday. Too early for that.
Yeah, here we are.
This is at 11 at night.
Wow, you live in a shit neighborhood if that's the noise people make.
Are those cars revving?
It's in a very short street.
Wow.
Minders are revving.
But that was carrying on until 11 at night. People were revving and hooting.
Oh,
and
goodness.
No, they were excited. They were very excited. Listen, I think the whole of South Africa, even people who don't drink, were drinking on Saturday.
Yep.
And then we had the biggest hangover of all time on Sunday morning.
Yo, the streets were quiet.
It was like New Year's Day.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Mm. Amazing. Well, good for our team, good for the nation. I think this is a terrific little injection of optimism, which we needed desperately.
Yeah.
And I saw that Cyril had made the effort to be there as well. You know, people who... there were a couple of naysayers, and they're bound to be those people. I just don't understand why there always has to be some miserable son of a bitch who feels the need to be, while everyone else is having fun. And I'm not a rugby fan. I have no dog in this fight. I could have come out and said, oh, well, you know, who cares? It's just a rugby game. The fact is, if it makes people feel a certain way, it's more than that.
100%.
Are you talking about something that rhymes with Jeff?
I don't know who said it, but there were a few people. Like, I saw one or two on my timeline, and I thought, Jesus, you know. What were people saying?
I'm talking about the EFF.
Oh, right. They're just people who, they take enormous pleasure out of being otherwise, just being difficult, contrarian, and mostly because they're deeply, desperately unhappy. That's usually the reason. Like, if you can't take pleasure in other people's pleasure, you've got a psychological problem.
Did you see the tweet from Buyiseni Ndlozi from the EFF?
What did he say?
Congratulations to hashtag Sia Kolisi. The rest go get your congratulations from Prince Harry.
So,
I don't understand.
But is that meant to be like a race thing? But then they're also like the other black players.
Yeah, but he doesn't
in the rugby team.
Buyiseni Ndlozi. Listen.
Obviously, an intent to divide.
Yeah. Again, just get on with your life. If you don't feel like joining in everybody else's celebrations, then close yourself up in your house and just enjoy yourself. Maybe you
just sit quietly.
Yeah, you watch something on Netflix, or you masturbate, or you do whatever you do, Buyiseni Ndlozi. Just don't like drag everyone else into your misery.
Like you said, some people just don't know how to be happy. And if you're not happy, like, you know, you got to drag others down. Like, if you're up there, guys, come back down here. That's how.
Did you guys see that guy? There was a New Zealand fan who was a South African dude.
Mm-hmm.
But he's this Afrikaans guy, and he's a big New Zealand fan, and he's wearing his All Blacks jersey. This is a couple of weeks ago.
It's just so great.
His name is Johan de Lange or something. I can't remember.
Well,
you explain the story because you might understand it better than me.
What? Very sorry. My phone's on silent, but something was loud.
Wait. It is a song by
Thank goodness.
What? Apocalypse called Cigarettes After Sex.
No, it's a song by Cigarettes After Sex called Apocalypse.
All right. Let's just turn our attention away from Leanne's sex life for a second.
Yeah. All right.
So to explain this guy, this Johan de Lange guy, because I think this is hilarious.
Oh, the best part was, so he went off, obviously we lost in the first game to New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
For those who didn't see it and have been living under a rock. And he went off, like properly, like where were the Springboks, where were you guys? But basically just trashing the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And this is the beauty of social media. So he's posted a video and like basically it's over, the All Blacks have won. And then Gareth, I'll let you take it, you'll probably do a better job.
So this guy, he's just basically climbing into the Springboks and saying, oh, you're all shit, you're going to lose the World Cup, it's going to be a disaster for you, blah, blah, blah.
Geez.
And everybody found this, and now they are just taking the piss out of him. They're like, oh, really? So how's that working out for you? You know, you've got to be careful.
It's ostracized by the country.
But this is what's so funny about living in 2019. I mean, I've grown up as a broadcaster. I've been in television and radio for, 15, 20 years, whatever. So I know that there are prices to pay for an opinion. Mm-hmm. If you have an opinion, if you're like Buyiseni Ndlozi or you're like this Johan de Lange guy, you're going to go out there and there are going to be people who don't like what you say. You have to be willing to take that punishment. But a lot of people think social media is just this big broadcast network that allows them to say whatever they want to say, and it's going to be great. Well, it doesn't always turn out that way. Apparently, this guy has been hounded for 3-4 weeks now. People have just been taking the piss out of him, what an idiot he is. I spotted him at this shop. This one,
no.
Person. Like, yeah, he's got an ugly wife. You know,
because
people are mean, so this is what they do.
This has been going on for weeks.
No.
After they lost to England, his life has been a misery.
I don't think he has even. I think he's closed down his social media accounts and everything. But you see, in some ways, as much as that's horrible, I think that people have to pay the price. If you're going to go online and you're going to have a big opinion, then get ready to get a backlash as well.
100%.
That's how it works, right?
Free speech, I think we always misinterpret in free speech. Free speech, like I think you might have said it, or somebody might have said it a couple of weeks ago from Christopher Hitchens, is you have to be willing to be offended. And not just that, is when you say things, you have to be willing to take the bullet for those things. That's part of the free speech.
And I mean, free speech is as much being able to hear what other people say as it is to be able to say what you want to say.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't always get. Anyway, so how was everybody's weekend besides the rugby?
Well, on the rugby, I had to preface all of this by saying I only watched the last 10 minutes because I thought,
where were you? Who are you? What were you doing?
I had it on in the background, but I could not sit down and concentrate.
Were you by yourself?
I just thought, no, I was with my housemate.
Oh, that's mistakes.
Yeah. No, we're both the same type of person. And the funny thing was, we had to keep on texting people to find out what's happening. We're like, wait. The score only went up by 2. What just happened then? We're like, okay, now we find out what a conversion is and now we know what's happening. But I thought the last 10 minutes were glorious. Don't know what happened in the previous 70, but the last 10 were amazing.
The first few minutes were a bit, it was really nerve-wracking to sit down and watch. Especially when we missed the first kick.
You watched the full thing?
Yeah.
With something in your hand? With a drink in your hand?
Only from 11:30.
I
said to,
I said to my cleaner,
I can't. I actually need a glass of wine. She came running in when everyone in the streets went crazy. She came running in and she was seriously shocked. She said, something's happening. I said to her, don't worry,
you
it's good.
You said she's Zimbabwean, right?
Yeah, she's Zimbabwean.
So she was probably like, what's wrong with these South Africans?
What is going on?
Yeah.
And I think I echo a lot of people's sentiments by saying this. You just couldn't help but be wrapped up in the emotion of the game.
Sure, and go with it. It's only going to be a day.
I think
you get back to being miserable and negative the next day.
For me, just the first glimpse of the trophy, and they were etching South Africa's
game even ended. Boy,
okay, that's so cute. And then the fireworks happened, and our president was there. But for me, the killer was seeing Sia run up to Rachel and the kids.
The Khaleesi.
Just tear fest for everyone. So it was very, very sweet.
That's awesome. And just to finish off on the World Cup, so that makes it 3 out of 3 wins. Yeah. Springboks have been in 3 World Cups, 3 wins. We've never conceded a try in a World Cup final. So we've been unbelievable. We've been unbelievable.
Mm. Very nice.
And Gareth, I know you didn't miss this. For those of you that are rugby fans, Prince Harry dressed as Rhys Patchell, his real hero.
The funniest thing about Prince Harry walking into the change rooms is that Faf was walking around in his underpants.
South African underpants and nothing else.
That's all he had on. And he hello, Prince. Yeah.
It's epic.
He's like a little Jack Russell to me.
He is. But those who know Rhys Patchell, Google him. I still maintain we missed out on the true story of the weekend. Prince Harry dressed as his hero, Rhys Patchell. Welsh Flyhoff looks more like Prince Harry than Prince Harry looks like Prince Harry.
Really?
Absolutely, it's hilarious.
Okay, maybe we must Google him and
Rhys Patchell, yeah.
My favorite fan was this woman, and someone sent me this clip right before the game, so it might be old news for you now, but I just love her. She's one of those flower sellers in Cape Town. I think it's on Adderley Street.
You are Rassi. You are the coach. Right, you need a pep talk. You in 5 minutes time, the boys are gonna go out. What do you tell the Springboks?
Go fucking win the cup and tackle. Don't play well, hang on. Throw the ball and fucking jump to the poles.
Jump to the poles,
my
boy.
Favorite commentator. I wish that Super Sport would employ her.
Yeah.
Just to sit there and talk. I would watch every rugby match they ever screen, even the crap ones, teams I've never heard of before. If they have that woman,
that's entertainment. Not the tripe we have to listen to now. No. That is.
Please just put her on TV.
Have her on the Xhosa guys.
Yeah. Yes. Jeez, they played some of the commentary from the. Now, who does that commentary again?
So they've got. I think Micaiah Jack, I think, is one of the guys. I know that. And
but there's one of the dudes who used to be here on cliffcentral.com, and he is...
Have you forgotten him?
Yeah, I have. Okay. I forget lots of things. Okay. He has to be one of the most passionate people I've ever heard talk about rugby. He cries, he screams. You should have heard the Xhosa commentary. It was amazing.
Hey, but I can't keep up. It's so fast. Really, I don't know how you guys do it, boy.
Such an angry woman so early in the morning on the GC. No, but that's the woman from Adderley Street. We like her. You've never experienced loud people until you've watched rugby with Afrikaans people. That's true. You know?
Yeah. My Afrikaans friend said that she'd have one.
Yeah, because a lot of people
said that she'd lost her voice halfway through.
A lot of people say, you know, black people talk loudly to each other. It's nothing compared to Afrikaans people during rugby.
What a fox!
And everyone,
it sounds like they're fighting, but they're loving it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. So, who was your Afrikaans mate?
She's also my business partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she said, voice gone halfway.
Yes. Yeah, their passion during the rugby is just on another level.
Yeah.
Okay? It's like that really matters to them.
I wonder how drunk Hugh Bladen was.
Oh, Blades.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh goodness.
It's Kaunda. Kaunda, that's right. He does the Xhosa commentary. All right, so let's just get... thank you, Devlin, for that bit of info. Let's get some of these messages underway quickly. Did you guys see the story behind the South Africans in the States who were celebrating loudly at 5 a.m., their time with the final, and the police rocked up?
No.
Wow. No, but that's not so unbelievable, yeah. Right? It's totally believable. A colleague of mine, this comes through this morning, one of the messages from Eddie. A colleague of mine at work is from England, said they actually won the World Cup because they beat New Zealand. Where is the logic in that? Yeah, there's so many funny things moved around here. there are very funny messages about this Johan de Jonge, de Lange, whatever his name is. People with... basically using their assholes as the O's in his name and writing the rest of it on their cheeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Some very funny stuff. Greg says, I cried on Saturday. Sia's post-match speech was amazing and had great context. A few hours later, Man United lost, so mixed emotions for me on the day. Good morning. My Saturday was fantastic. Firstly, we won the World Cup, not only to beat England, but we smashed them. And when later Liverpool came... from one down to two, to win 2-1, sorry. Yesterday was great again because I watched the game. Seeing that, seeing Khaleesi lift that trophy again made me so happy. That's from Brendan. Yeah, lots of people. You know what? Just let people have their fun. Why would you want to spoil that and be miserable? Let people have their fun. It's so great.
It is great. It is great. And to watch with other South Africans.
And, you know, we've forgotten what it feels like to win because we're usually such a nation of losers.
It's true.
Honestly, we just lose at everything, and we have zero to get excited about from the point of view of politicians and.
Oh, we've just had very difficult times, man. Right.
So when we
poverty
win,
poverty and not unemployment and crime.
Right, we're not even sure what to do anymore when we win.
Did you guys see Rassie's speech?
No,
everyone thought Sia's speech was good. Rassie said, "I'll surmise it." I mean, he talked about. He said to the guys, "You know, real pressure isn't playing rugby." Mm-hmm. Real pressure is being in South Africa, not having a job, experiencing violence. Like he said, that's what he threw down to the guys, and he said what they've got is a privilege.
Right.
Well, playing rugby, representing your country, getting paid millions of rands a year, he says that's an absolute privilege. So, I mean, he really delivered one of the best speeches I've ever seen, probably by a South African coach of all time.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable one.
Yeah, Leanne says, one of the messages, I totally agree. I was contemplating changing my Jack Russell's name to Fuff.
That's
from Natasha.
He's exactly that. Love him.
Well, if you've got any other comments, you can send them to us, 0797482090. How was the rest of the weekend? Some fun?
Rugby.
What was that the whole weekend?
Yeah.
It was insane, dude.
No, I had such a dodo of a Sunday. I'm really still beating myself up about this. But I've been locked out of my house since yesterday.
It wasn't me, I promise, dude.
You sleep on the street.
Yeah, Gugu usually hides other people's keys.
And locks them in.
How did that happen, Sia? Did you get so drunk on Saturday?
Stupid. No, I slept over at a friend's place on Saturday evening.
Yeah.
So I was in the Uber going back to my place. And clearly dropped my keys in the back of the Uber.
Oh, no.
Note to anyone who will further lose anything in an Uber vehicle. Yep. Just letting you know, there are so many hurdles to jump over. Because Uber says, and rightfully so, they cannot claim any responsibility with anything that you lose. Drivers are all independent contractors. I've been trying to contact the driver the whole of yesterday and still nothing.
So now he knows where you live and he has your keys.
No! And he knows my unit number. I don't know why I never tell drivers to drive into the complex. Usually I just walk myself in. But yesterday I was feeling a little lazy. So I, yeah, it's like number. Oh, I was like, Morgan, but hang on, drive me right in.
Okay, so your keys are still at large. But you walked in yesterday.
And so here's the entire scene as well. My housemate is in Durban right now.
Oh, no.
The body corporate once issued us a spare key, and the spare key was used by my flatmate's boyfriend when he was in town.
Yeah.
So now the spare key is also in Durban. And I thought, well, shucks, what am I going to do? And mind you, I have all of my keys in a bundle.
Yeah.
This is my office key, car key, and my house key, all in one bundle.
But you'd slept somewhere, so you had toiletries and things like that with you.
No, I'd like passed out.
Oh.
It's not even cute.
It wasn't a plan. No, yeah, you didn't go there with a change of clothes.
No, it was not. I just passed out.
So you're feeling rough as hell.
Yes.
It's Sunday, you're tired and exhausted and hungover.
The kids are out at the complex and now they're gathering around going like, I wonder what's wrong with this dude sitting outside.
Or you're sitting on the stoop there like,
I'm sitting right outside my place. And I just, something within me said, screw it, let me take the chance
to see if
my sliding door's unlocked.
Uh-huh.
And I thank Jesus and the 12 disciples, somehow it was. I jumped over onto my balcony. What? My sliding door was unlocked. So I've managed to get into the house.
Right.
But now it's like,
you can't lock the house.
Yeah, I can't lock the house.
You gotta sneak out through the sliding door again.
But can you,
a little criminal.
Can you open the door from the inside?
No, there's no key. Yeah,
right.
So how do you get out? What, over the balcony?
This morning, I did the Spider-Man
Ninja
thing.
MacGyver.
Yeah.
You must be careful, hey, they'll call the police. They'll think you're breaking into your own apartment.
No, so I had to tell security as well. I was like, hey guys, heads up, today's gonna be a little rough. Like, can you just make sure that if you see anything suspicious happening, you know, you let us know.
So now what?
Now I just wait for my cousin, thankfully, who's in Durban, who's flying up tonight. And so he'll be bringing me up a key. And then I'll further continue to try and contact the driver.
So how did you, your car keys now, how did you get to
I
work?
Used my spare key today.
Oh, lucky you, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
what? So he could find your car wherever it is.
Google, do you want to add more anxiety into my soul?
Yeah. Boy.
This guy is this Uber driver is probably also
gold. Christmas, he's hit the jackpot.
No, he's renting a truck. Actually.
Are you guys?
Yeah, he's renting a truck.
He's currently renting a truck to come and load
he's
stuff.
He's renting a truck to rent. No, the truth. You don't have to like the truth for it to be true.
My heart is beating faster at this thought because I was sleeping on edge last night as well, thinking if he wanted to, he could just
pull
make
in,
his
boy.
Merry way into my place.
Mm-hmm.
Can your TV fit out the door and around the stairs?
Okay.
Does the sofa have to be lifted down a floor?
Leanne, as I wag my finger in all of your faces, this is not the support
need. You hear good stories about Uber drivers as well. It's not all bad, right? I mean, sometimes you hear very nice things. Like, for example, here's like a better story than the usual ones you hear from Sean. I once left my keys in an Uber, phoned Uber, and the driver phoned me back within 5 minutes, had my keys back within 20 minutes.
Mm.
This was in Durban. It must be UC and not Uber.
Look, yeah.
What's your Uber score again?
Yeah.
What if you just thrown them out the window or something?
It's amazing.
I'm not going to stress too much, but I just feel like a complete
I feel like you should change your locks.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's coming over for at least TV Yako, 55-inch Nyana. Surely.
Now Cliff Central also needs to change locks. Sia needs to be more responsible.
Yeah, now we all need to change locks.
I have never lost anything in like years, so calm down.
All my keys are tagged with my telephone number. If I should lose it, then people will know how to find me. Yeah, but they'll also know how to harass you on your phone.
Yeah.
They just want to harass you on your phone. Shame, guys. The poor Uber driver's probably just been asleep since his shift because they work such long nights. Don't panic. I've left things in Ubers before and they've always brought them back for me. Okay. So that happens. Well done, LZ. Okay.
Oh, maybe they can bring me a new laptop.
Oh,
I spilt mango juice all over my open laptop.
Sorry, I'm not,
you
so
idiot.
The trackpad is not working. It's doing its own thing.
Oh, that's terrible.
That poor machine has been through hell. You got a like an aux cable stuck in the thing.
Yeah, I did. It was aux.
So is it all sticky as well?
yeah, it's quite sticky, and the trackpad, like, it doesn't want to click.
Oh my God.
I've tried using a toothpick, etc. Well,
you know, Liana, I managed to save you from the last one, but this one I think you're going to have to pay for.
Too far. Yeah,
yeah, you've taken it too far now.
So there'll be no news from me today.
I wonder if someone can, you know, explain whether or not there's a way to fix that at an iFix store.
Yeah, like, surely. Like,
how do you fix? I've got a juice spill.
Surely you can clean it or something.
What kind of juice? Oh, it's mango.
Mango.
Therefore, we have this procedure. If it's granadilla juice, it's this one.
It only moves for a bit, and then it starts doing its own thing.
That is so frustrating.
It thinks that you're pressing things, but you're not.
Oh, wow. It's terrible. Yeah, it's horrible. Not moving anymore.
So what were you doing while you were spilling mango juice? Just out of interest.
I was eating breakfast and watching DSTV.
Oh.
And I had this stupid little glass that topples easily. Mm. It's like round.
Not good.
Mm.
The secret is two things at a time. Either you're watching DSTV and orange juice.
Oh, is
yeah,
that
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Once you do three, that's a sham.
That's the trifecta. Yeah,
well, I'm very excited. We've got a guest popping in this morning, Patrizio Buone, who we've all known for a long, long time. He's a great singer. He's an Austro-Italian baritone. He continues to perform beautifully all over the world, and he is in South Africa, and we're going to talk to him a little bit about his show that he's doing here, which I'm sure a lot of people are very excited about. Mm. And he's no stranger. He's been to South Africa before. We're going to speak to Patrizio a little bit later on this morning, so that's going to be very exciting.
Good.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Any other drunken stupidity that we want to get out of the way? Because I had a big night
on
Saturday.
Why is everyone looking at me?
Well, because you've already lost the
key. I heard about you on Saturday, actually.
You heard about me?
Yeah, it's like, dude, where are you? I'm like, I'm with family. It's like, oh, Garrett's here. I thought you'd be with him here at Rockets, and he's having the time of his life. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it was a friend of mine's birthday, and he asked me to MC, asked Anele to make a little speech, and he had a huge, like, contingent of mutual friends of ours, and so we just had a really good party. But again, like, add that to the rugby excitement, and there was just, Sunday was useless. Most of Sunday I was horizontal.
Mm.
I slept. You know when you have those daytime sleeps where you wake up and you're like, you're really hot and sweaty, like you haven't moved?
Yeah.
Just bad.
What time did you get home on Saturday night?
Or Sunday morning.
Yeah, Sunday morning.
Yeah, it was probably the latter, not even the former.
Yeah.
Hectic.
Good man.
But I didn't leave my keys anywhere.
Excuse me, I will not be incriminated this morning. An honest mistake, that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah, after the age of 16, I'm afraid, leaving your keys, that's criminal.
It's like losing a phone. It's just
criminal.
It's like, how old are you?
I'm waiting for Lady Karma to play her cards with all of you judging me right now.
Huh?
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, Standard Bank are committed to driving growth on the continent that we call home. The African Continental Free Trade Agreement has moved from being a pipe dream to being a reality. And it will enable the free flow of goods and services across Africa. In a video which Cliff Central will release on social media later today, the head of trade and product management at Standard Bank, Kevin Holmes, speaks to MoneyWeb editor Rek Fanikak on the challenges of implementing the African Free Trade Area and the need for government and the private sector to work together to unlock the opportunities that brings. Be sure to check out cliffcentral.com to find out more through the course of the day today. Also, a little later, the Auto Central show is on, and Anthea is popping by just now to give us the money shot. But first, the five things you need to know this morning. We get into some news?
Mm-hmm.
All right. First of all, Parliament says public hearings in the NHI are going well. Parliament are holding their third day of hearings for the National Health Insurance Bill, and they described it as positive. The hearings got underway in the Northern Cape. I don't know why they're even bothering with this. They did the calculations, according to Tito's medium-term budget speech, and they figured out that there is no way we can afford an NHI. None. So this is all theoretical. And they're carrying on with these public hearings as if they matter when we can't afford it. This is like people planning where they're going to put their new TV when they haven't got money for a new TV. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I do.
Right. So I this is the most stupid thing I've ever heard. Despite Treasury warning the universal healthcare has become unaffordable, Parliament just went ahead with the public hearings in the Northern Cape. And by the way, the Northern Cape is the poorest province in the country. And everyone there is an alcoholic. 3-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 20-year-olds.
Is that according to Stats SA?
I'm telling you now.
Okay.
And if they're not alcoholic, they have fetal alcohol syndrome.
Which is not a lie.
No, that no, whole province true. Is ruined. Now, obviously, you go and hold hearings on free public health care in the Northern Cape, and they're all going to be like, yeah, we'll have some of that. Because who else is paying for it? Them? I don't think so. There are no jobs, so no one's earning any money, so they can't afford their own health care. And they just hear ding, 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 free stuff. Ding, ding, ding. That's all they hear.
Yeah. Mm.
So what's the point of this? I don't understand why anyone in the Northern Cape has to be asked for their opinion on anything to do with NHI.
Ding, ding, ding.
What they should be asked is, have you had a drink today? And if the answer is yes, they should be chased out of the hearing. Sorry. It's ridiculous.
I've got a Northern Cape story for you when we're done. Okay.
No, no. Tell us now.
So we ran from... what we call Tswane now to Cape Town with a few other people.
You're a runner?
I am indeed an okay. ultra runner.
And I knew there was something wrong with you.
Yeah. running no, it's from not just my face.
Tswane to Cape Town.
Yeah, let's not get into that.
If you're wondering who this is, by the way, this is Mbulelo. We met him the other day and I said he must pop in for the show today. Wow. So you did this run?
This is me. So yeah, so we ran something. Anyway, we did a run from Tswane to Cape Town, where I live.
Mm-hmm.
The Republic of Cape Town. Oh, and we went through the Northern Cape.
Yeah.
So I would say 80% of the Northern Cape has like no running water in their houses from what I experienced.
Correct.
It's literally you got
they have alcohol but not water.
Oh yeah. No. Plenty of alcohol. Everyone's got.
You can tell Jesus has been there.
Yeah. So I found that phenomenal. So what you're saying now is spot on. Yeah. It is destitute, I believe is the word.
You know, some parents, they use like alcohol to disinfect the bottles of their babies. In the Northern Cape, they just fill that bottle.
My word.
What? He's two and he isn't drinking yet? What's wrong with your
kid?
So
what do you guys have to do as runners? That you just want water?
Yeah, no, but I mean, we're runners, so we've got water and stuff provided for us.
I was going to say,
They bring their own.
Yeah, we bring our own water, yeah.
It's going to say no, we did the vodka while running.
No, we did the research before. Combo.
All right, well, Gauteng Education MEC, Panyaza Lesufi on Sunday said they were fully aware of the disruptions at district offices and apologized to parents. The department opened its offices on Sunday with officials deployed to deal with school placements for the 2020 academic year. This happens every year. We have too few places and too many parents who want to get their kids into school. And you imagine if you're a parent how scary that is. Like your kid's not going to get to start school next year. Mm. So it must be all kinds of pressure and hell for the parents who are trying to just enroll their kids, basically. They had aimed at completing the application process by the end of last month, but that did not happen. It's now allocated Sunday for officials to try and get through a large number of parents that have been queuing outside the offices. Lesufi has tweeted that he's making his way to the districts. His spokesperson, Steve Mabona, said that parents need to understand that not all children would be placed at the school of their choice. But there are enough, according to him, for everybody. It just means you might have to go to a school that isn't the nearest or the one that you really want. You see, this is another reason I don't have kids. Imagine having to deal with that.
Mm.
Oh, all kinds of hell. All right, so the South African Human Rights Commission, just unbelievable that this is such a nonsense institution. It really is. I don't know what they've ever done to improve the condition of human rights for anyone, anywhere. Seems to me it's a loudmouthed chapter 11 or a chapter 12 institution. Just a lot of crap. Listen to this. The South African Human Rights Commission will decide on Monday whether to oppose the court application brought against them by Etzebeth's legal team. You remember what happened was that Eben Etzebeth is taking the commission to court over its handling of the allegations. That's the allegations that he was racist or abusive to someone at a pub. I mean, try everyone in South Africa on Saturday. I think friends were abusive with each other on Saturday night just because they forgot that they were celebrating and started fighting. You know, it is amazing to me that we have real human rights issues in South Africa, real ones. There are constant threats of sexual harassment against women. There are actual harassment cases against women. There are babies who are growing up in the most adverse situations imaginable. And we're worried about it's a high-profile thing. This is why the Human Rights Commission almost looked like they're looking for attention on this. So who knows what's going to happen? But, you know, Etzebeth has shared his version of events, which was published in The Burger just a little while ago. The Springbok Lock has denied allegations against him. In court papers, he states that He was with friends and family when there was a verbal confrontation with a white guy at the Longabon Yacht Club. So it wasn't even with a black guy. And the Human Rights Commission's inserting itself into this like it's important. Please, can you guys find something else to do? Hmm. And your timing as the Human Rights Commission could not be worse.
Yeah, really,
because he returns to South Africa as a hero, and you guys look like you're petty. That's all. All right, in other news, going a little further away, apparently with nearly 100,000 acres that have been destroyed by wildfires in California in recent weeks, thousands having been forced from their homes, apparently even in the Pacific Palisades, which is like one of the richest neighborhoods in America. They're evacuating all these rich people and celebrities who live in Pacific Palisades and putting them in, you know, state schools.
Shelter housing.
Yeah. Ooh. So Trump has blamed the Democratic governor, Gavin Newsom, saying he'd done a terrible job of forest management. Several of this year's major wildfires have burned in unforested areas. Every year as the fires rage and California burns, it's the same thing. Oish. And then he comes to the federal government for dollars. No more. Get your act together, Governor, Mr. Trump wrote on Twitter. Mr. Newsom, who's been highly critical of Trump and his environmental policies, responded, "You don't believe in climate change. You're excused from this conversation."
Ooh.
I love the way both these politicians are using this as a way to push their own agenda, and there are actual people who are in big trouble. McDonald's has fired its CEO. It's ridiculous. After he had a relationship with an employee. So what happened was the U.S. fast food giant said the relationship was consensual, but Mr. Easterbrook, that's the Steve Easterbrook, the CEO, had violated company policy and shown poor judgment. In an email to staff, the British businessman acknowledged the relationship and said it was a mistake. Given the values of the company, what are the values of the fast food company?
Yeah.
Can't eat stock.
Let's think about this, because we heard just the other day about someone who opposed the dairy industry and got fired. We're talking about a fast food business that basically takes millions of animals every year and kills them.
Yeah.
Turns them into mush
and then sells us that mush at an enormous profit. What values exactly are we talking about here?
They're in the business of cholesterol rising.
There we go.
Talking about your values.
Thank you very much. So if cholesterol rises, how about one or two penises don't get to rise and one or two relationships don't get to happen?
Could I just drill into that a bit? Was it salacious in any way?
No.
Is he married?
No, here's the deal. He's divorced. He first worked for McDonald's back in 1993 as a manager in London. He worked his way up in the company, so he's not some spoiled rich guy. He's just been put in the position. He left in 2011 to become the boss of Pizza Express and then Asian food chain Wagamama before returning to McDonald's in 2013, eventually becoming its head in the UK and Northern Europe. He is widely credited with revitalizing the firm's menus and restaurants by remodeling stores and using better ingredients. The value of its shares more than doubled during his tenure in the US.
Then this is stupid.
But that's where he went wrong. He's trying to make the world healthy. That's ridiculous. That's company policy.
In a statement, the rest of the board thanked him for his contributions, adding, "They brought us into McDonald's, and he was a patient and helpful mentor, bunch of other nice things." And so he had a relationship with a woman, totally consensual. She was on board with this. He was on board with it. And now he's had to step down. You see, because people are so afraid. I don't know how anyone's going to date in this cloud of Me Too. I don't know how it's ever going to happen that people are just going to be able to date, just be with each other.
I wonder if they said to him, "You either end the relationship or you leave."
Probably.
But also,
I want to talk to Anthea about this, see what she thinks of it.
I'm trying to analyze it and go, he did know the rules. And perhaps when he started dating this person and seeing that it was something serious, he could have spoken out to the rest of his team. Like, "I know this is something so tiny and petty, but look, I am interested in her. She's interested in me. Can we just declare this and make it public that we're in a relationship together?"
Love makes people do stupid things.
Well, clearly the last dinner they had before he had to step down was not a happy meal.
Come on. Out of here with that.
I was holding on to that so much.
Out of here with that. Sensational.
Listen to this. You want to hear about a hero?
Uh-huh.
Here's a hero. Cucho. I want to say, Cucho says, "I'm convinced I'm the real MVP, most valorous person of the weekend. Not only did I get blackout drunk on Saturday, but I woke up on Sunday morning and ran the Soweto Marathon, and I finished.
Wow. Oh, no. Jeez.
Hero.
That is a hero.
That is a hero. Well done to you. And you look pretty sharp and fit in your picture too, Khocho, so well done. All right, so there we go. A lot of people very excited. Let's get to Anthea Gardner and find out what's happening in the world of money. Hey, Anthea, what's happening?
Good morning. Seat. I'm good, thank you.
We need to do a little bit of rearranging here. Sorry.
We're just rearranging the furniture.
Give us a second. I'll step out of here.
Yeah. All right, there we go.
I'll go play outside.
Everybody's moving around. It's very exciting. Studio's so full this morning.
The music stopped and there was no chair.
Yeah. All right, so Anthea, how are things, considering that this is a weekend where we finally got some positive sentiment moving around?
I've got some positive news in the stock market as well for a change. Isn't that nice?
Oh, yeah? Tell us more.
Yeah, so the JSE was up 3% for October. So we finished October last week.
Good news.
The resources index was up over 7%. And for year to date, the JSE is up 7% about.
Thank goodness, because we were teetering around absolutely nothing.
Flat, eh? Yeah. Really, yeah. And we had a trade surplus in September on top of August trade surplus. We were expecting about 2 billion rand trade surplus. It came in at 5.2 billion.
Excellent.
I know, it's very exciting. It all seems like really great news. And then on Friday, you can see this is positive or negative, up to you, but Moody's changed our outlook from stable to negative, but they did not downgrade us to sub-investment grade.
That's kind of what you predicted.
That's exactly what I predicted.
So in other words, just listen to Anthea and none of this will be a surprise to you.
And you'll be okay. Yeah.
There we go.
I mean, the bad news is that unemployment rate is still very high, the highest in 11 years at 29.1%, which is a bit disappointing. But, you know, I think it will follow. So if we can get kind of manufacturing and get things right and the market can start rising, companies will start employing, and hopefully that'll change, which is completely the opposite from the US. On Friday, they announced that they had added 128,000 jobs. Consensus was for 75,000. So they're doing particularly well again. Their unemployment rate edged up a little bit to 3.6%, still the lowest level since 1969. And then a bit of good news for them as well. Their hourly rate increased by 3% since last year, which was the problem previously. So we all know that the U.S. has been adding jobs, but lower paid jobs. So now it looks like finally wages are increasing as well.
Okay.
So we're all kind of roundabout there. And then some more good news, lots of good news. The U.S. cut interest rates on Wednesday by 0.25%. Now, you may or may not care whether the U.S. cuts interest rates, but they're doing it to boost their economy. And we're very much still driven by global economy. So if the U.S. economy is stable and growing, then I think we're going to be okay. You know, that's always been my concern, is that we're very much in the late stage of the economic cycle globally, and South Africa is now trying to catch up. We're desperately trying to catch up or trying to take advantage of this like 10-year bull market, longest bull market in history, by the way, which we South Africans didn't take advantage of. But now we're trying to catch up, and so I think it's going to be quite hard.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
So that's the macro side. And then on company news, Sasol reported, so first of all, they had co-CEOs, both of them resigned, which I think is absolutely right because of this Lake Charles project, right? We've been talking about this Lake Charles cracker project forever and how it's gone from being projected $1 billion cost to like, I don't know, $3 billion. It's just the numbers.
It's a big loss maker.
Ridiculous.
It's not good.
And it keeps getting delayed. And
by the way, this is a good reason for a CEO to resign, because your whole job is to make some money into more money. That's your job as a CEO. It's not about what you're doing in your private time.
Absolutely.
I don't think anyone...
Oh, we're talking about McDonald's now.
Well, yeah, I don't think anyone who's serious about business really cares what happens outside of the profit margins.
Yeah. So there's a whole move towards ESG in companies at the moment.
What is ESG?
Environment, social, governance issues. Mm-hmm. So companies like Sasol get caught because, you know, they're oil producing and they're fracking and they're doing all sorts of things which apparently are bad for the environment. And so they get chastised because they don't actually get penalized for it at this stage. They just get chastised. And companies and consumers or investors are wanting to be invested in companies that do the right thing for the environment, for social and governance issues. And I think your McDonald's issue, I mean, you can call it a social issue, but I don't think so, right?
There are people in the rest of the world and in the streets who are trying to make their issues everyone else's. And here you have two people who fell in love. It's not the best thing to happen. Everybody understands that this is not optimal.
How old was she? How old are they?
I'm not sure. He's in his 50s. I'm not sure how old she is.
Because the issue is it's a power thing, right?
Yeah, I get that. But she says, you know, they fell in love. So as far as she's concerned, it's all legit. And he's resigned because there's a huge amount of social pressure on him to do this. It's just crazy.
Yeah, that is just crazy.
Yeah, she's loving it.
You have got such... By the way, Sia, while we're talking about
you... Do you not have the ability to switch Sia's mic off?
Hi, Sia, this is your Uber driver. I'm currently sitting on your couch in my undies eating Cocoa Pops. Also, you're out of toilet paper.
Horrible.
I had hope for a second there.
No.
I'm so gullible. Oh, my gosh.
All right, so what else, Anthea?
And Taste Holdings announced last week that they're selling Starbucks.
Oh.
They currently have 13 stores in South Africa. And they're selling it for 7 million rand, if you're interested.
Anybody want to buy that?
So the problem with Starbucks is that it just costs so much to roll out. And I think where Starbucks versus Aveda or Seattle Coffee have got it wrong is that Starbucks have very big stores, whereas Seattle, Aveda have tiny stores. And I don't think it's that South Africa is not a coffee culture anymore. I think we really have become a coffee culture, right? I remember when I went to the US many years ago, there was, coffee shops everywhere and not a coffee shop in South Africa. And I completely understood that South Africa was not a coffee culture. We didn't buy a coffee, walk into the office. But actually now, most of the guys in the office come into the office in the mornings with a cup of Starbucks or Seattle or Vito.
I've noticed that even here we have a coffee machine and people still come in with their own.
Yeah, we also have a coffee machine. It's so bizarre. It's a real spoil, isn't it? It's like a real nice way to start your day, a real treat. But anyway, so I think Taste Holdings have got it wrong. You know, last year they were trying to sell their
luxury... Are they just trying to offload it, or is there a serious acquisition possibility here for someone else?
So they've announced that there is a purchaser, which they haven't identified, but I don't think it's gone through yet. So they've said that potentially there is a buyer.
7 million rand.
Mm.
It's not a lot, huh?
But the problem is rolling out these stores. It costs a lot.
How many are there?
13 stores.
That's not enough.
And... So last year they generated 108 million rand in sales and an operating loss of 22.5 million rand.
I was going to say, what do the books look like?
Yeah, not great. So that's where it is. This is the same company, by the way, that last year tried to sell their jewelry business. So they also own Arthur Kaplan and NWJ. And they're also going to try and get rid of Domino's Pizza. So they've decided fast food is not for them.
All right.
And then Afrimat put out an exceptional set of results as well. 57% growth in operating profit. That's just mind-blowing. But we'd previously spoken about this company, right? They're the construction company that put out a trading statement 2 weeks ago. And then offshore, two bits of news. Tiffany, the jewelers, has received a $14.5 billion takeover approach from LVMH.
Oh, okay. That's the Louis Vuitton group that's owned by the Pinot family of
that's
France.
That's correct. Yes, that's right.
I mean, it's really them and the Ruperts who are in the luxury goods business.
They dominate completely.
Those two companies own all of it.
Pretty much, yes. And they're looking to, LVMH are looking to pay a nice little premium for where the share closed.
Okay.
And then Google is buying Fitbit for $2.1 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, which is an interesting one because actually the thing here is that Fitbit have said to their clients, apparently, because I'm not a Fitbit client, but that if Google does buy them and they opt out, you can opt out as a Fitbit consumer and not pass your data onto Google. Because I would have thought it's all about data, right?
Yeah.
For Google. Google says they just want to introduce the Made by Google logo.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So skeptical, you lot.
All right, Anthea, we have a question for you. Is there any indication of the size of the informal market in South Africa? I was astonished to hear that more than 80% of fresh fruit and vegetables in South Africa is traded outside of retail. All those people are somehow making a living and getting on with it. Isn't that interesting? That's a good question from Carla.
It is a very good question, Carla. So there are guesstimates around what it should be, but off the top of my head, I don't know. But yeah, massive, massive.
And talking about the fast food industry and their values, they believe you can unleash your inner foodie with their latest campaign, WTF. Yeah, I'm not sure which fast food business that is.
But I'm guessing that's McDonald's.
All of their ad campaigns are pretty boring. I mean, none of them are really as brave as they need to be because they're all scared. They're trying to like straddle this divide between being a family restaurant on one hand and actually having some character on the other.
Yeah, that is McDonald's, Unleash Your Inner Foodie. I actually have heard the ads. Quite funny. It's worth going to Google.
Okay, then maybe we just got it wrong. But there is a very good reason that bland and brand are just one letter apart.
Wow.
Gracious.
And on that note, okay. That's the day.
I mean, do you want to shut down the whole entire advertising industry?
Very good. Okay.
Thank you very much.
There's Anthea Gardner with 5 minutes to go until 7 o'clock. Yes. So we've got Mbulelo hanging out with us today. What else did you do with your weekend?
Gareth, I spent my entire weekend, first of all, being in Joburg. So I'm currently spending most of my time in Cape Town. Yeah. And it is boiling hot here.
Yeah, because in Cape Town, you've had horrible weather recently. It's been raining and it's been cloudy. And
good for the rain.
Sure. We had some nice rain on Friday night in Joburg and Pretoria.
Yeah, we had first proper soak.
Damn right. Mm.
No, it was great. But I also watched, I think we need to touch on this. Anybody with a human soul celebrated when Man United lost? Anybody who considers themselves partly human lost to Bournemouth, and it was just, it was a wonderful weekend. It was really just a pleasure to see Man United down in the doldrums for anybody who's respectable on this planet.
It's one of the reasons that we thought it would be a good idea to have you in here is because we get a lot of complaints from people who say, oh, you don't do enough sport now that Ben's not here all the time. So we thought we'd get Mbulelo in here to talk to us a little bit about it.
Yeah, no, it was an absolute pleasure. So they lost to Bournemouth. So let me give you an example. That is for those who don't know, it would be like somebody from McDonald's versus my grandmother's spaza shop that she opened and my grandmother outperforming the McDonald's worldwide.
Wow.
No. That's Bournemouth are tiny, Gareth. I mean, so
it's like your gran.
Yeah, my gran, who's been dead for 20 years, outperforming McDonald's today. That's how bad that result was. And I just, you know, to have the Springboks and Man United lose, and Man United be 10th on the log. It's just a pleasure, you know. They haven't won the league in 5 years, so the world is a better place for that.
You're loving this.
Yeah, no. If you can't celebrate the Springboks, if that can't make you happy, Man United are 10th and are miles off winning a Premier League, and it's been 6 years, Gareth, and that just makes the world a better place.
Very exciting. Our new season of Decrypto is back, season two, and in this season you get to hear all about cryptocurrency and the future of money. But have you ever stopped to consider what money actually is and how crypto is different? Well, we're going to speak to Luno's Coralie Kleinschmidt, and we'll talk about the differences and the similarities between money as we know it and cryptocurrencies. Our first series, which was tremendously successful, and that was more or less about the idiot's guide to cryptocurrency. This time we get into a lot more to do with the practical side of all of this. And in a world where that's becoming the way that more people choose to do their trading, more people choose to keep their assets, then you need to make sure that you're ahead of the curve there and not left behind. Stick around for season two of Decrypto a bit later on. Our guest, Patrizio Buene, is coming in to join us too, and we're very excited to see him again. And we will get into a bunch of other cool stuff in the next hour, including some of the news that you might have missed over the weekend. CliffCentral.com.